I watched the premiere episode of the television reality show Survivor. I had to do a fact check online, but it turns out the first episode debuted on May 31st, 2000. The only two things I could have told you about it was that I was teaching in Wilson, Kansas at the time, and I was extremely disappointed in the show, and never again watched another episode. My understanding was that it was people in a harsh environment trying to survive, and I guess I had in my mind some sort of Darwin survival of the fittest, as the weakest of the bunch eventually cried uncle and threw in the towel until only one was left. Well, it was a paring down until only one remained, but the folks were eliminated by vote. To my mind, it had far more to do with being a popularity contest, and a lot less to do with who actually had what it took to survive. Now, fast forward to the past few years, beginning specifically in 2013. A reality show aired on the Discovery Channel in June of that year called Naked and Afraid, which is something like what I expected Survivor to be. I'm not much of a reality TV fan. I prefer actual reality because then I get to enjoy being in it. But I have watched a handful of the more than 60 episodes that have been produced. I do think that there are some thought-provoking things to consider for just about anyone who enjoys spending time outdoors. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I have joked with my daughters, both of them fans of outdoor and survival skills and fairly competent for their age, that if I were on the show, they'd have to rename it Naked and Supremely Confident, because I'd be so sure I could breeze through the 21 days that people are out there. I have confidence in my own such skills, and when you start with the few extra pounds that I'm carrying, well, I'm thinking that gives me a head start in my body providing for itself while sustenance is found in the surrounding environment. That particular joke, by the way, got fairly strong eye rolls from both daughters. Naked and Afraid chronicles the lives of two selected survivalists, one man and one woman. I say chosen because of the episodes I have seen, all of the participants have some form of training which would make you think that they're up to the task of the show. Some are former military special trainings types, and some actually work in survival in some capacity, such as teaching survival or outdoor skills classes. All of them have something that qualifies them to be on the show. They are dropped off in a remote location somewhere around the globe, often in tropical areas, and the first time they meet, they are, as the show's name would indicate, completely naked, to include bare feet. The afraid part sometimes comes later. They are given nothing. They must procure food, water, shelter, and crude clothing from wherever they happen to be. The goal is simple. They have to survive via their own wits and teamwork for 21 days, and at the end of that 21 days, they have to navigate with a supplied map to a pickup location to be extracted. There is a camera crew during the day. They have cameras themselves to record anything at night after the camera crew is gone. There is a medical crew within the area should something truly dire happen as far as health or safety. They are allowed to tap out at any point if they just can't take it, and it can be that one person taps out and the other remains to continue on their own. Also, they are each allowed to bring one tool with them, which is where I'm headed eventually with this episode. There is no silly voting along the lines of a popularity contest. You either have what it takes, or you don't. So let's focus for a moment on the idea of a single tool in a survival situation, such as what they allow participants to choose for the show. I have talked on here before about different types of survival gear that I believe to be helpful for Alaska. I have suggested items that I believe everyone should consider having on them when they go afield or travel, irrespective of the reason or destination. We have the luxury of selecting any number of items, the sole restraint being whatever our limits for what we want to carry, or what the air carrier will allow us to bring, if we're traveling by plane. Forced to choose a single item, perhaps it would make us think a bit more about what's really essential. Certainly, location and personal ability come into play in selecting a single item. Let me share with you a few of the most common items I've seen on the handful of episodes I've watched, as well as some thoughts I have about picking out a single item. When it comes to the guys on the show, the most common item I've seen selected is a machete, and it's hard to fault that selection, as its use is pretty much universal. A machete is just as handy in the tropics as it would be in a boreal forest. A good machete has a reliable blade on one side, and sometimes has a serrated or toothed saw-type side on the other. Machetes can be used for so many different survival tasks that it's certainly a solid choice for a single tool. I will say that having a quality machete would be a must, in a scenario such as what's seen on the show. A while back, a fellow with a machete actually broke several spots on the blade while chopping, and all on day one. And it's not like they were hacking down redwoods either. On several shows, the women have brought a pan for the purpose of boiling water. That's not a bad thought either. 21 days is more than ample time to pick up Giardia if you don't take care to treat your water. Of course, bringing a pan means that either you're hoping your partner has a fire starter, or that one of you is proficient at starting fires without a ready-made tool to do such. The pot can also be used for cooking. On one episode, the pair found a large termite nest and broke it open to get at the gobs of termites inside as a food source. They put them in the pot with water, got it boiling, and made something of a soup with them. Fire would actually be one of the foremost thoughts on my mind, irrespective of the location, because a good fire can serve in so many ways, from heating to cooking to boiling water to just providing a peace of mind in a wilderness setting that can't be gotten any other way, in my humble opinion. While I have in my life started fires with a fire bow, it takes a lot of effort and patience and the right materials. Without knowing I could find those materials on site, I think choosing a really solid flint and steel would be the way to go, because then fire would be a certainty. Even though the two people don't meet until they're out there, I'm guessing they know what the other is bringing. It'd be pretty crummy to have both people show up with pots for boiling water. The last episode I watched, a couple of weeks or so ago, had a pair stuck in the forested mountains of Eastern Europe. They struggled with heavy rain. Both of them eventually tapped out due to the threat of hypothermia. And that made me consider that maybe a good thing to have would be a large silnylon tarp. The two on the show actually constructed decent shelters. Two shelters, because the woman wanted her own. They got a fire started, but they put it between the two shelters, where it was exposed to the elements. As a result, they struggled at keeping it going. With a nice large tarp, you could have the fire under the overhang of the tarp and protected from rain or snow. One other mistake they made, which seemed kind of like a rookie mistake to me, is they left the dry wood that they had collected exposed, where it got wet. In my mind, keeping it under the shelter seemed like a no-brainer. If food was a major consideration, and over the course of 3 weeks you would need to keep your energy level at an acceptable level, a couple of possibilities might be some sort of wire or cable for snaring, or possibly a spear or gigging tip for a spear. Such tools would allow you to acquire larger animals for food with possibly less effort. Again, location would play a part in that. For that episode in Eastern Europe, such tools would have been a definite asset, given the species that were there. For someone proficient with natural traps, such as deadfalls, tools like this might not be necessary. If it were left to me, I might just choose to take my Leatherman Super Tool that's on my belt every single day, without fail, wherever I go. There is a reason it's on my belt every single day, without fail. It's larger and heavier than most multi-tools. It has two very solid knife blades, one serrated and one plain, and a very robust wood saw. It also has any number of other tools that might be helpful. It would definitely be something that I could use in so many ways while giving me the peace of mind that it already does every single day. Cordage of some type would be useful, so maybe a spool of paracord would be a nice choice. It would certainly make it easier to put together a shelter, and it would lend itself to the making of various primitive tools as well, from fish traps to snares to axes to hunting bows. While it's never been a facet of daily living that's been shared on the show, maybe I'd opt for several rolls of Charmin or Angel Soft. Feeling that to be self-explanatory, I'll let that one go at just that. In closing, and tying this back to us here around Bristol Bay, I'd offer up the following thoughts. First, always carry personal survival gear with you. Always. Second, give a bit of thought to why you decide to carry what you do, and be proficient in its use. And finally, if you do wind up in a genuine survival situation, Consider emulating the show Naked and Afraid. No, I don't mean you need to be afraid. That's not helpful at all. But give thought to stripping off all your clothing. I guarantee, if you're out there totally naked, someone's going to show up. Possibly a whole host of someones. And then you'll be assured of being rescued. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.